Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, your pastor. We're reading through the Bible. This is 2 Samuel, chapter 18. And there are 33 verses in this chapter, and we're doing part 6 of Receiving the Discipline of the Holy Spirit. We also have a couple of letters and some scripture verses. I was talking about if people doubted or doubt when I say that the Vatican controls the one world cult, the one world government, and the news media. Just turn on the news media and see how they exalt the Pope and tear down every Christian, true Christian. It's just amazing, and they're saying so many good things about him. And we have a scripture here. Sharon, read that scripture.
Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets.
Right, and so that's, you just see one person after the other, one Catholic and one newsman after the other, just praising the Pope, and speaking so well of him. But the Bible says, woe unto him. We have a picture of the Pope laying in his casket, or laying on top of this slab. They're parading him around now in Rome, carrying him off to St. Peter's Basilica. And his face is just ashen. And there's a grimace on his face, which I'm sure... Or let's just put it this way, more likely than it was there when he saw the Lord, when he was going out to meet him. Because I'm sure the Lord said, who's the Holy Father, you or me? And I'm sure as corrupt as he is, he probably said me, while the Lord was slinging him out into hell and then the lake of fire. This man is totally corrupt. And we're putting out some literature of the different heresies that all the different popes have stated and some of the things that they've done during their popehood, if you will. Many of them were raping people's wives. They come here, where is she, Angel, and tell some of the things that these reprobate popes had done.
They were raping nuns and women. There was one, at one point they said that the men of this town insisted that they keep concubines because to keep them away from their wives and their daughters because they were, you know, raping them so much.
They wanted the Catholic priests to keep concubines so that it would keep them away from raping their wives. And then what?
And then many of them are homosexuals. I mean, AIDS is very rampant. It's like 11 times higher than, you know, the average population of AIDS. Murder, bribery. Many of the popes, they actually bought their pope, whatever you call it, to be pope. Many of them, one of them was living with his brother's wife, many illegitimate children, and lots of them, they said there was blood, lots of, you know, like blood from them killing people in all the lines of all the popes.
Right, and the Bible tells how that this is the every abomination on the face of the earth has happened is emanating from this cult, this whore, the Lord calls it, the mother of every abomination that sits in the city of the seven hills, which is Rome. And the things that she mentioned is just a drop in the bucket in comparison to the new tract that I'm preparing right now for distribution and to put on the website. The one that is going on the website tonight is telling about all the different things that the different popes have blessed, everything from blessing the Titanic and it sank immediately afterwards, blessing Kennedy and he was assassinated immediately, and just one, going back from year one almost, so the tract is called Beware of Blessings Coming from the Catholic, the Roman Catholic clergy, especially any of their popes. Be careful. Or if I thought one of them was going to start blessing me, I'd run like a deer, an antelope. Amen?
Amen.
Because it's just, that'll be on the internet, our website tonight, and Jack will be printing them tonight sometime. I think it's really interesting, you know, to see how, quote, blessed, unquote, really cursed they are. And now you can see all the other channels. I mean, you just wish there's nobody's really talking about the Pope on any other, just the media. That's what they control. And so you have to really be careful about watching the media. I'd be very well grounded in the Word of God. And we're getting some responses. Some people are very happy, extremely happy, and they agree with the literature, the two latest pieces of literature that I put out in the last week, last 10 days. And, of course, the Catholics are calling up, which is a very good sign, and it gives you a good opportunity to witness to them. And to read some of these things that the popes have done, and John Paul II, the things that he's standing for, the New World Order, and democracy, which is taking the Bible completely out of the world, where he hates the Bible. Now, in one side of his mind, remember, the devil is a liar. He preaches a little bit of truth, and then he does something completely different. Like he preaches against abortion, but he's the one that is making it a law that it's all right to have abortion. And they have these fake polls that say the general public want to murder over 400 million babies, and that the general public really wants homosexuals to be able to be married, and that everybody wants this liberal attitude towards sin. And all the people we talk to on the streets are just the opposite. So you know that the media is pushing a very false prophet in exalting him, and they're also telling you lies about the polls that they're taking. We took a poll and everybody's voted that we should bomb this country or that country. And that isn't true at all. Nobody wants to kill innocent people except the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Those devils in power of secular government, that's who wants to do it. And they're being instructed these things from Rome. And the time that you see, if they elect a Jewish pope this time, and they're really strongly considering, and I told you, if you'll listen to messages that I brought about 20 years ago, you'll hear me say that I believe they're going to install the Cardinal of Paris because he's a full-blooded Jew. And the reason for it is it states in the Bible that he will not be like his fathers. So it shows that he'll be a Jew. All right?
Yes.
He will not have the same doctrine as his fathers. And the Jewish people will never receive false Messiah unless they're Jewish. So if they say, how could you be the Messiah? You're not a Jew. But this one is, and he'll say, I am a Jew. And he's already making statements like that. So it's very possible. What is that Cardinal of Paris's name? Who?
Lustiger, I think.
Okay.
Jean-Marie Lustiger.
Jean-Marie Lustiger. All right. So, Father, let's all pray now for the Lord to anoint this tape. Lord God, we ask that you anoint this tape, that you anoint chapter 18 of 2 Samuel and the translation and the commentary and part 6 of receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit in the two letters and everything else that will be on this tape, Lord, let it be straight from you. Let it bring forth, Lord, open every mind and heart and spirit. Let it bring forth more and more life, your life in us, because you want all of our own life, or our way of thinking, superstitions and old wives' tales, and all the false things that we've been told all of our lives, to be swept totally out of us, mortified, dead, and that our minds will not be on the things of the world anymore, any of the lusts, and that our minds and our hearts and souls will be stayed upon you, your, and your word. You are the word, Lord, so that we'll have more and more power in you as each day goes by. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's read the two letters here. One of them is from the United States, and the other one is from Africa.
The first one's from Oakdale, Louisiana. It's translated from Spanish. It says, "Beloved and respected Brother Alamo, may God bless you. I am hoping that when this letter reaches you, that you will be found in good health and rejoicing in God's blessings. I am doing well here, strengthening myself in the Lord. Thanks be to God. I am sending this letter in Spanish. I hope you will understand it. I don't know English that well. A brother that used to live with me would translate my letters for me, but he got moved from here. At the moment, I am by myself physically, but I know God is with me in my cell. I hope you will understand my letter. I am studying the English language so that I may be able to write you, brother. Blessed be the name of the Lord for having put you in my path so
that..." Well, we have translators here that are able to translate literature that comes in, letters that come in to me in Spanish, and they are able, very quickly able to. It's good to learn English as well. Can you go ahead?
"Blessed be the name of the Lord for having put you in my path so that I, through you and your literature, could see the light of the gospel and that I could give my life to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am very happy to have received the parcel you sent me with your newsletters, which I am so proud to receive. I have already distributed them, and I put some in the book cart so people will see them and read them. Brother Alamo, once again, I want to thank you 1,000 times for your help, blessings, and literature that I receive. I am also reading your book, Messiah, and I marvel at the explicit and clear way you show the world that Jesus is the Messiah. God knows how much I need them. I am praying for you day by day. Thank you, LG from Oakdale, Louisiana."
And you'll see that the new literature that I'm releasing and distributing throughout the world is very clear in the things that are being, when they're exalting the Pope and the Vatican and the one world government and church, cult rather, and media, there is a leave, they leave us no alternative but to resist, because we are the true resistance here in the world. And if we don't, if we just let them keep crowing about how wonderful these devil-possessed people are, people keep believing them. They've gone about, they say they have 1 billion followers in the world, but that leaves 5 billion of them that they don't have, mm-hmm. Okay? And in their own newspapers, they say that I've torn the Catholic cult in half. They say they used to have 1 billion, but now it's down to this was like, no, 20 years ago that we reduced them down to 500 million. And I know that of these billion people, a lot of them are what they call jack Catholics. They don't really believe in that false religion at all. And so we have no alternative but to put this literature out. This literature is very explicit also and very clear as to what these people do. And so it's up to you. Once you see these statements and the documentation of the things that they've said and the things they've done in the past, which is just the tip of the iceberg, and we can mention thousands of different books that tell you the same thing, well then, if you still cling to them and want to be one of them, well then you're responsible, and you're going to be responsible at the judgment bar of God. All I am called to do is to resist the devil, to do everything I can to win your soul out of that corrupt organization, the political organization. The Lord says, come out from among her if you're my people. Come out from among her, my people, and be you separate and holy and away from that sewer of corruption. There's people like Abraham Lincoln, Luther, Samuel Morse, who invented the Morse code, the telegraph, that say that that demonic organization is the sewer of corruption, Satan's toilet, a bottomless sewer. Okay, so continue on. How does it end? Tell me the last verse.
It was, I marvel at the explicit and clear way you show the world that Jesus is the Messiah. God knows how much I need them. I am praying for you day by day. Thank you, LG from Oakdale, Louisiana.
Okay, let's everybody pray for her as well. Lord, give her or him great strength in your spirit, in Jesus' name. And protect her. Build a wall of fire around her about her in Jesus' name. Okay, then what?
This is from Nigeria, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony, greetings to you all at the Alamo Christian Church in Jesus' name. Amen. I received numerous world newsletters and a few of the Messiah literatures, together with 6 Holy Bibles that you sent to me at End Time Outreach Ministries. All the materials have been distributed during a 3-day retreat. The retreat was great, with good results in attendance. About 4,750 participants and 325 accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, while many people promised to worship with us this coming service. The Alamo World newsletters were very useful and interesting when using them during our personal and group evangelism. We use them to win more lost souls for Christ. The problem we have is we need Bibles to distribute to those new converts, and many people requested and cried for Bibles, and they told me to order many copies from you. That is why we are appealing to you to help us out by sending at least 300 Bibles or more that will enable us to be used during our forthcoming retreat. That retreat will be great, and we are expecting to have about 10,000 people or more in attendance. But those new winning souls need Bibles very much that they can use during the Bible class studies. Thanks for your cooperation and concern. Hoping to hear from you soon. Yours in Christ's Vineyard, Pastor O.B. from Nigeria, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Well, you know, we'd like to get everybody Bibles, but as our ministry is expanding, we're providing Bibles for as many of them as we possibly can. There's like 10,000 there. Do you have any idea what 10,000 Bibles cost? Some of them are around $5, $6, $10, $15, and $20 a copy. So you just figure 20 times 10,000. And that's a lot of money. It's $200,000. And then there's some Bibles, I forget which one it was that cost $100 and some a piece. Which one was that?
That was the Bible in Aramaic writing.
The Bible in Aramaic writing. And there we get requests for every kind of Bible, and some of them are quite expensive. So those of you that want to keep the commandments of the Lord, the Bible tells us, you know, that we have to give tithes and offerings. We've never really asked for them before, except on 2 other tapes. But it makes... the Lord is impressing upon me to make you know that he does tell you to give tithes and offerings to us to, if you're being fed by this work, to give tithes and offerings to us so that we can get all the literature to him. You haven't got the idea. You may not know how much it costs to send literature overseas also. It's extremely expensive. Some of these packages that we send are way up there in price. So, you know, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart and cause you to give your tithes and offerings to us and become part of this work. The Lord will certainly bless you for it. All right, now let's get into 2 Samuel, chapter 18, with the 33 verses.
Go ahead. The death of Absalom, how he was slain. King James Version, verse 1. And David numbered the people that were with him, and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. Verse 2. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai, the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. Verse 3. But the people answered, Thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us, neither if half of us die will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better that thou succour us out of the city. Verse 4. And the king said unto them, What seemeth you best I will do. And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands. Verse 5. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, Deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. Verse 6. So the people went out into the fields against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim. Verse 7. Where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David, and there was there a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. Verse 8. For the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. Verse 9. And Absalom met the servants of David. And Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. Verse 10. And a certain man saw it, and told Joab, and said, Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. Verse 11. And Joab said unto the man that told him, And, behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. Verse 12. And the man said unto Joab, Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged thee, and Abishai, and Ittai, saying, Beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Verse 13. Otherwise I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life. For there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me.
This Absalom's long hair was his undoing. He got caught up there, and he didn't have a pair of scissors to untangle his hair from the branches. It was just hanging there by his hair. Okay, go ahead. Translation.
The death of Absalom, how he was slain. Translation, verse 1 through 13. Then David numbered the people who were with him, and set over them commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. Verse 2. David sent the people out, one-third under the command of Joab, one-third under the command of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and one-third under the command of Ittai, the Gittite. And the king said to the people, quote, I myself will surely go out with you also, unquote. Verse 3. But the people said, quote, You should not go out, for if we indeed flee, they will not care about us. Even if half of us die, they will not care about us. But you are worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now, it is better that you be ready to help us from the city. Unquote.
What he meant to say is that they want to get David and kill him more than 10,000 of the just ordinary people. They wanted the king. Okay, then what?
Verse 4. Then the king said to them, quote, whatever seems best to you I will do. Unquote. So the king stood beside the gate, and all the people went out by hundreds and thousands. Verse 5. The king charged Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, quote, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. Unquote. And all the people heard when the king charged all the commanders concerning Absalom. Verse 6. Then the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. Verse 7. The people of Israel were defeated there before the servants of David, and the slaughter there that day was great, 20,000 men. Verse 8. For the battle there was spread over the whole countryside, and the forest devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. Verse 9. Now Absalom happened to meet the servants of David, for Absalom was riding on his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak, and his head caught fast in the oak. So he was left hanging between heaven and earth, while the mule that was under him kept going. Verse 10. When a certain man saw it, he told Joab and said, quote, behold, I saw Absalom hanging in an oak. Unquote. Verse 11. Then Joab said to the man who had told him, quote, now behold, you saw him! Exclamation mark. Why then did you not strike him there to the ground? And I would have given you 10 pieces of silver and a belt. Unquote. Verse 12. The man said to Joab, quote, even if I should receive 1,000 pieces of silver in my hand, I would not put out my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged you and Abishai and Ittai, saying, quote, protect for me the young man Absalom! Exclamation mark. Unquote. Verse 13. Quote, otherwise, if I had dealt treacherously against his life, and there is nothing hidden from the king, then you yourself would have stood aloof. Unquote. King James Version, verse 14. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand, and thrust them through the heart of Absalom, while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. Verse 15. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about, and smote Absalom, and slew him. Verse 16. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. Verse 17. And they took Absalom, and cast him into a great pit in the wood, and laid a very great heap of stones upon him. And all Israel fled, every one to his tent. Verse 18. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called unto this day Absalom's place. Verse 19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. Verse 20. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Verse 21. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Verse 22. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? Verse 23. But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai.
Now we'll just go translation from here on out to the rest of it, because it will last too long. And everyone has their King James Version anyway, and they can just read along.
Translation, verse 14 through 33. Then Joab said, quote, I will not waste time here with you, unquote. So he took three spears in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. Verse 15. And 10 young men who carried Joab's armor gathered together around and struck Absalom and killed him. Verse 16. Then Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing Israel, for Joab restrained the people. Verse 17. They took Absalom and cast him into a deep pit in the forest, and erected over him a very great heap of stones. And all Israel fled, each to his tent. Verse 18. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and set up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's valley, for he said, quote, I have no son to preserve my name, unquote. So he named the pillar after his own name, and it is called Absalom's Monument to this day. David is grief-stricken. Verse 19. Then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said, quote, Please let me run and bring the king news that the Lord has freed him from the hand of his enemies, unquote. Verse 20. But Joab said to him, quote, You are not the man to carry news this day, but you shall carry news another day. However, you shall carry no news today, because the king's son is dead, unquote. Verse 21. Then Joab said to the Cushite, quote, Go tell the king what you have seen, unquote. So the Cushite bowed to Joab and ran. Verse 22. Now Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said once more to Joab, quote, But whatever happens, please let me also run after the Cushite, unquote. And Joab said, quote, Why would you run, my son, since you have no reward for going, unquote. Verse 23, quote, But whatever happens, he said, I will run, unquote. So he said to him, quote, Run, unquote. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and passed up the Cushite. Verse 24. Now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof of the gate by the wall and raised his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running by himself. Verse 25. The watchman called and told the king, and the king said, quote, If he is by himself, there is good news in his mouth, unquote. Then he came nearer and nearer. Verse 26. Then the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, quote, Behold, another man running by himself, unquote. And the king said, This one also is bringing good news, unquote. Verse 27. The watchman said, quote, I think the running of the first one is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, unquote. And the king said, quote, This is a good man and comes with good news, unquote. Verse 28. Ahimaaz called and said to the king, quote, All is well, unquote. And he prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground. And he said, quote, Blessed is the Lord your God, who has delivered up the men who lifted their hands against my lord the king, unquote. Verse 29. The king said, quote, Is it well with the young man Absalom? Unquote. Ahimaaz answered, quote, When Joab sent the king's servant and your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I did not know what it was. Unquote. Verse 30. Then the king said, quote, Turn aside and stand here. Unquote. So he turned aside and stood still. Verse 31. Behold, the Cushite arrived, and the Cushite said, quote, Let my lord the king receive good news, for the Lord has freed you this day from the hand of all those who rose up against you, unquote. Verse 32. Then the king said to the Cushite, quote, Is it well with the young man Absalom? Unquote. And the Cushite answered, quote, Let the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up against you for evil be as that young man! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 33. The king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And thus he said as he walked, quote, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom! Exclamation mark. Would I had died instead of you, O Absalom, my son! Exclamation mark, unquote.
All right, that was the 33rd verse of the 18th chapter of 2 Samuel, and now we have the commentary.
18, verse 1. David took command as he had in former days. In recent years, his life had been characterized by indecisiveness and moral paralysis. At this time, he began to take charge and do his duty. So the rebellion, and who rebelled, and who the people rebelled against, and what happened to them after they rebelled. The rebellion. The Bible records many rebellions. Many were against God's chosen leaders. They were doomed for failure. Others were begun by wicked men against wicked men. While these were sometimes successful, the rebel's life usually came to a violent end. Still, other rebellions were made by good people against the wicked or unjust actions of others. This kind of rebellion is sometimes good in freeing the common people from oppression and giving them the freedom to turn back to God. Who rebelled? Well, we've got Adam and Eve, for one. Who did they rebel against? They rebelled against God. And what happened to them? They were expelled from Eden, had the Adamic sin on them, and were doomed for hell and the lake of fire. Other ones who rebelled, the Israelites. Who did they rebel against? God and Moses. What happened to them? They were forced to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and all of the older ones died. Then we have Korah. Who did he rebel against? Moses and also God. What happened to him? He was swallowed by the earth. And the Israelites, who did they rebel against? God. And God took away his special promise of protection from them. Then Absalom, David's son. Who did he rebel against? David. And he was killed in battle. Sheba. Who did he rebel against? David. And what happened to him? He was killed in battle. Adonijah. Who did he rebel against? David and Solomon. And he was killed for treason. That's what happened to him. Adonijah also was David's son. Joab. Who did he rebel against? David and Solomon. What happened to him? He supported Adonijah's kingship without seeking God's choice. He was killed for treason. The 10 tribes of Israel. Who did they rebel against? Rehoboam, and the kingdom was divided. The 10 tribes forgot about God, sinned, and were eventually taken into captivity. Baasha, king of Israel. Who did he rebel against? Nadab, the king of Israel. What happened to him? He overthrew the throne and became king. God destroyed his descendants. Zimri, the king of Israel. He rebelled against Elah, king of Israel. What happened to him? He overthrew the throne, but killed himself when his rule was not accepted. He just couldn't handle it. Jehu, king of Israel. Who did he rebel against? Joram, king of Israel. Ahaziah, king of Judah. What happened to him? Killed both kings. Later turned from God, and his dynasty was wiped out. Athaliah, queen of Judah, rebelled. Who did she rebel against? Joash, the king of Judah, and Jehoiada, a priest, rose up against Athaliah, queen of Judah. Athaliah, a wicked queen, was overthrown. This was a, quote, good, unquote, rebellion. Shalom, king of Israel, rebelled against Zechariah, king of Israel. What happened to him? He overthrew the throne, but then was assassinated. Another one, Menahem, king of Israel, rebelled against Shalom, king of Israel, overthrew the throne, then was invaded by a Syrian army. Another bad one was Hoshea, king of Israel. Who did he rebel against? Assyria. What happened to him? The city of Samaria was destroyed, the nation of Israel taken into captivity. Zedekiah, king of Judah, rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. What happened to him? The city of Jerusalem was destroyed, the nation of Judah taken into captivity. That's what happened to all these rebels. 18, verse 12 through 14. This man had caught Joab in his hypocrisy. He knew Joab would have turned on him for killing the man if the king had found out about it. Joab could not answer, but only dismissed him. Those about to do evil often do not take the time to consider what they are about to do. They don't care whether or not it is right or lawful. Don't rush into action without thinking. Consider whether what you're about to do is right or wrong. 18 verse 29. Although he reached the city first, Ahimaaz was afraid to tell the king the truth about the death of his son Absalom. 18 verse 33. Why was David so upset over the death of his rebellious son? 1. David realized that he in part was responsible for Absalom's death. Nathan the prophet had said that because David had killed Uriah, his own son would rebel against him. 2.
And also because he committed adultery with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. And what?
2. David was angry at Joab and his officers for killing Absalom against his wishes. 3. David truly loved his son, even though Absalom did nothing to deserve his love. It would have been kinder and more loving to deal with Absalom and his runaway ego when he was younger.
Amen. All right, that was chapter 18, 2 Samuel, 33 verses, translation and commentary. And now, the sixth in the series of receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit.
Part 6. I'm going to talk now about the characteristics or the different characters of the disciplining of the Lord's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There are two characters or characteristics, the different kinds of discipline of the Holy Spirit. There are many kinds, but I'm going to talk about two.
Right, I touched on this in yesterday's, in part 5, a little bit. Okay, go ahead.
One is a temporary discipline of the Holy Spirit, and the other is of long time, a long time.
Right, it's a long time disciplinary situation, like I told you about Paul and myself and others. Okay, go ahead.
The temporary discipline many times is for a short period of time and usually comes suddenly and passes by quickly. Take, for example, if someone who falls off of a ladder breaks their arm, or somebody who falls off of a roof and really gets hurt, or somebody getting hit by an automobile and is seriously injured, but this person does not die. After a few weeks in the hospital and stay away from hospitals, again, we have a book, How to Get Out of the Hospital Alive. They put you to death now. There's a law, a new law, that President Bush put into effect in the state of Texas when he was governor, that states if you are in the hospital for 10 days and you cannot pay your hospital bill, and they just make in their minds that you are a hopeless case, they don't at all think about healing of the Lord, they can put you to death. Even if your relatives, your husband, your wife, your mother, father, whoever, brother, sister, want to rescue you, no, you can't get in there and get them. So stay out of hospitals.
No, they can't come in and get you. So stay away from hospitals. Okay, then what else?
So anyway, a person goes into a hospital or a hospice, and he recovers so that the discipline of the Holy Spirit on this, a temporary type discipline, is over. It's ended. That is the temporary discipline of the Holy Spirit. The discipline of long time is, of course, a longer period.
What I mean by long time or prolonged discipline, disciplinary action from the Lord against or negatively towards yourself, many times is for all your life. Okay, then go ahead. That's a long time. Then go ahead.
The discipline of long time is, of course, a longer period of time, and this kind lasts for several years. Sometimes the longest one follows us throughout our entire life, like that of the Apostle Paul. He could see with his eyes very well. Then the Lord blinded him temporarily on the road to Damascus when he was going to kill a bunch of Christians. So the Lord had scales grow over his eyes. Then when he went to Ananias to be prayed for, the scales fell off, but it left him with this long time sight problem. A lot of Christians I hear say, quote, "Nobody knows what his infirmity was," unquote. But in many cases he states it. He said, when you first were saved, quote, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me, Galatians 4:15. But after they had learned the gospel, and he had been good to them all those years, he was stating, quote, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Galatians 4:16. Then he brags about the kind of letter that he wrote in large letters, that he wrote it all by himself, being almost blind. So that kind of long time is the kind that follows you around for the rest of your life.
For the entire duration. Okay, then what?
The same thing with Jacob, who was lame. He had a limp, plus the pain is great. This is the breaking of the Holy Spirit, the Lord trying to break some stubbornness in us, and this is a severe measure that the Holy Spirit takes to discipline.
To discipline us, yes. Then what else?
There's plenty of times where you can see, for example, that God gives brothers a wife who is contentious, or she likes to quarrel. Then he gives a sister a husband who is extremely contentious and unreasonable, causing them to suffer daily, perhaps almost unbearably so. Since Christians cannot ever be divorced, with the exception for the cause of adultery, the wife becomes the lifelong discipline to the husband, and the husband becomes the long-time discipline to the wife. The discipline of long time, they're mostly in an environment which we contact regularly, that we're in contact with daily, such as our family, the place where we work, the church. A lot of people complain about different brothers or sisters in the church, or even relatives who try to pull you out of the church because of the fact that they are either Catholics or Muslims or Jews who believe in Judaism. Among these, the family discipline is of the long time. It is a long time and is the most severe disciplining of the Holy Spirit. I've talked to many people who have families, many Christians, and they say that the family is like having one of those yokes around your neck which you used to see that the English used to punish people with. They'd stick your head in there and lock it in and put your hands on each side of your head, and you'd stay there in the hot sun or the severe weather all day long.
Well, they put your head and hands in the stocks, they call it. All right? It's like a yoke. A heavy yoke to where you can't pick it up and walk away with it. Okay, then what else?
Some people say that a family is like that. This is a very meaningful description. The worldly people take marriage as an enjoyment, but in the Christian realm, practically speaking, when we marry, we receive a painful dealing, a yoke where our head is locked in and both of our hands, and we stay there. We must prepare to carry that yoke and put a lock on it, because we are locked in. There's nothing which binds people so much as a family. The person who has a family is one who receives a bondage and discipline from God. The husband is a long, lifelong discipline to the wife, and the wife is a long-time, lifelong discipline to the husband. The children in the family are also a means of discipline. Those who are childless always want to have children, but in spite of their wish, many of them never have children. Others who have lots of children, many children, don't want any more. Yet the more they do not want them, the more they have. Many mothers want to have a child as gentle as Jacob, but what they get, unfortunately, is a child as wild as Esau or Ishmael, and creates much trouble in their home every day of their lives. She starts believing that her home is like an oven. You can tell a servant to go home if you're able to have servants in your house.
Well, the house is like a kiln, you know, where they make bricks. They roast them in there. And it's like you're in there forever. And that's why maybe a lot of married people, men, go fishing or hunting or something to get away. But if you're of the Lord, you can't get away. You have to be there and guide the family into the kingdom of heaven, all right? I'm talking about unsaved people. That's what they do. Then what else?
You can tell a servant to go home if you're able to have servants in your house. But with children, you can't do that. They must be kept, whether you like them or not. They follow her all through her life and serve as discipline of a long time to her. The church is also a place where man is severely disciplined. God ordains that we cannot be isolated from brothers, the brothers from brothers, or the sisters from sisters. We can't be isolated Christians. We must be in the church and in the body, serving the Lord and being coordinated with the brothers. And even though the brothers don't hang out with the sisters, or the sisters with the brothers, they sometimes make trouble for each other. However, God also arranges some very peculiar brothers and sisters to be among us. They love the Lord and are consecrated, but they have such peculiar dispositions that they're hard to tolerate. They always conflict with us and make us suffer. This also is the Holy Spirit's discipline of long time. Throughout our lifetime, there are many instances of this kind of discipline.
And remember, the discipline of the Holy Spirit is the cross. Amen?
Amen.
So walking in the Spirit, being stabilized, denying ourselves, and letting the Holy Spirit mortify ourselves is the actual thing we must do. We must follow the Lord. There are many people that were around him that irritated, aggravated him. He had to put up with everybody. And he did it. Okay, then what else?
Some, like Paul, are continually with that thorn in their flesh, in the body. Then another may be weakness of the physical body or a certain disablement, as I mentioned before. This is a discipline of long duration. Temporary discipline lasts only for a little time, a little period, a short time, so that we may hope for deliverance. But the discipline for a long period of time is of a long period and does not leave or change the way that it tastes. It always remains the same.
It has the same flavor every day. You ever have tried to eat the same food every day? If you've been disciplined by the Holy Spirit, it never changes flavor. If you have kids, it's pretty much the same way every day, isn't it? Yes? I see nods affirming this truth. Amen?
Amen.
If you have a family, it's about the same all the time. My little 3-year-old daughter is now asking me, when in a busy day, she says, "Daddy, can you come out with me outside?" And I don't want to hurt her feelings. And so I do. But really, I need the sunshine and fresh air as well. And I have boys, too. And I used to take them everywhere, but unfortunately with them, I was in prison for 4.5 years of their lives, and I wasn't able to be with them, and I wanted to because I love them dearly. Now they're grown up, and they want to go outside and play sports, and they want to work out, and I have to go with... I used to take them downtown to the gym. So now that we have our own gym, they go in there with their son. They're pretty well grown up now. And I don't really know whether they want me around at all anyway. That much. The little girl says, "Daddy, can you come outside with me? Or she'll say, I don't want to, don't leave without me. And that just breaks your heart, you know, to hear something like that. And I just can't do it. So it's my head and my hands are in the yoke. Amen. And there's a ring in your nose. You have to go. She leads you with a little string. Okay, then what?
Therefore, when the discipline of long time or long periods of time come upon us, if it's from the Lord, we should not hope for its passing. Instead, we must give up all hope in a sense, because we never know if the Lord is going to heal us one way or the other.
Yeah, so I don't, you know, I know that my eyes, the condition of my eyes, have been a blessing to me because I don't see the dirty looks or the filth or the corruption and the things around me as much as a person that has good eyes. And therefore, the temptation is not as severe as it would be with somebody that can see. And so I don't hope that the Lord will take these eyes, or these bad eyes, away from me, but some people have said that before Susie comes back, because she has been said that she told me that the Lord told her that she was going to be coming back, it'd be a long time before it happens, and that we would become the two witnesses of the Lord. And I've been told other brothers and sisters have seen visions of this. They said before she comes back, your eyes will be healed. And I don't know, that kind of, because I never hoped for it. You know, I just carry whatever, I will carry whatever cross the Lord gives me. And be glad for it, because it's for the salvation of my soul. Amen?
Amen.
So people should not ever complain. All things work together for the good. Amen?
Amen.
You know the rest of that?
To them who are called according to his purpose.
Right. To them that love the Lord, to those that are called according to his purpose. And his purpose is that we should, by his power in us, win souls and all of us enter into the kingdom of God. And for this, he has to chasten some of us. Amen?
Amen.
Because why? He chastens those that he loves. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm just so happy the Lord loves me. You know, if I know I would have got into a lot of problems. I had when I was young, I had a complex about my eyes, and that's why I refused all kinds of motion picture contracts. I tell you before God, Jack Warner, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., they begged me to be in a motion picture, to star in it, called Young Dillinger. And I wouldn't do it. I says, I thought you had Nick Adams for the part. They said, we haven't signed him yet. Please, you don't even have to act. You are Dillinger. I says, no, I'm not. You know? They says, no, you act. You know, like you're very forceful and everything. And that's before I was saved. And then it kind of spooked me, too, because I was born in 34 and he died in 34. I thought, what is this, you know? Kind of weird. And then all kinds, I was supposed to be in Blackboard Jungle with Glenn Ford. It was a bunch of unruly kids. I was just a kid then. And I told Jack Warner and also Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., I said, no, I'm conscious about my eyes. I said, besides what I'm doing, they said, we can shoot around you, man. We'll shoot around that if you got a problem. I've got weird eyes. Okay, they're glaucoma, and they just don't look that good. That's why I wear these shades. And not only that, because of the fact that I can't stand glare. And so I'm not trying to be cool at all. I never used to wear shades. And Susie used to make me take them off. She said, you don't look so good with shades on. Well, that's, I don't care about that. Amen? So I'm happy with whatever afflictions that I have. It's like Paul said, he glories in them. Amen?
Amen.
And I do too. So when I'm saying you shouldn't hope to be delivered from a long time discipline of the Holy Spirit, because it's for your own good and it's for my own good. Amen?
Amen.
So don't feel sorry. The worst thing you could do is feel sorry for yourself. I see these ministers call it pity parties because of, you know, you're not getting your way. And I reckon that's a pretty good description for it. I have no pity for myself at all. Not at all. And it's disgusting to see people that do, to me. All right. Well, aren't you supposed to pity people? You're supposed to walk in the Spirit. If the Lord has me have pity on people, of course I do. I preach the gospel to them. That's the greatest love and pity that you could have on people, is to tell them the truth. Amen?
Amen.
And to put your life on the line, because there's a lot of people in this world that don't like the truth. They'd love to snuff you so that you don't say it anymore, so you don't tell it any longer. And so, you know, to me, to the Lord, that's love enough. And to feed and clothe and house and to mainly preach the gospel and win souls and put them up if they need to be put up. If they want to live outside the church, that's wonderful, because it saves the church a lot of money from having to build new facilities for them all the time. But they're moving in so quickly now that it's we're running out of space. And so those of you that are listening to these tapes, and those of you that have deep pockets, shake loose with some of that loot, okay, over here, so that we can keep the work of God, so we can keep establishing the kingdom of heaven here on this earth, and do it in this life, because you're not coming back to obey the Lord again. You'll either do something for him in this life, or you'll never do it. Okay, we don't come back again. All right, then what?
But don't dwell on it, is what I'm saying.
Don't hope for deliverance from long-time infirmities. If they are, this is discipline, if you're being disciplined by the Holy Spirit, if it's a long-term discipline, disciplinary action. I've been in one institution after the other in my life, and learned discipline before I ever got saved. Even the Navy, the different jails for preaching the gospel, the prison for preaching the gospel. And I was wrongly put in jails and prison, and also in reform school when I was a child. But I learned discipline. It was in the, they said, the worst reform school in the country, where they beat me because it was run by Germans, and they were prejudiced back then against Jews. My real name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman. And they really did beat me every week, sometimes two and three times a week. And that went on for years. And so I learned to, you know, bite the bullet and take it. And I just figured there's some reason that all this is going on. And I learned how to do a lot of things in every place that I've ever been. And it's experience that I wouldn't trade for all the money in the world, because it makes me not want to treat people that way. It makes me want to be gentle and to treat people the way the Lord did, because I know what I felt like when I was being abused as I was, and I know what it felt like to have a father that didn't live around us when we were kids, my brothers and myself, and I know what it's like to not have a lot of things, and I want my people and the people in this church to have the things that I didn't have, and that's why I build things for them, and I don't want to give anything away that the Lord has given me. I want to keep it for the brothers and sisters, the housing and everything. And so this is, so these experiences really make me, I learned to do right by watching people do the wrong thing. I just did not ever want, and I don't ever want to do the things that they did, my parents and other people that I've seen in my life that just didn't care anything about their children, or that didn't support them. And let's face it, the Bible states that a person that doesn't support their wife and children is worse than an infidel. Infidels go to hell. And so if you're worse than an infidel, you go to the lowest part of hell, the lake of fire, and spend eternity there forever. Eternity is forever. Then go ahead.
But be willing to accept it all throughout your life. Actually, the discipline of a long period of time, when it's the Lord, is the most precious of all. It alone can give us lengthy and severe breaking, a continual breaking which we need every day.
Right. Now, before I was saved also, the first part of my life, I didn't want to kids or anything like that. I just wanted to be footloose and fancy free. If you were on drugs or anything, that's fine. If you wanted to be a homosexual, I didn't care. Or if you wanted to commit adultery, I don't care what you do. Just leave me alone. And I made a lot of money and spent it on myself. But now, I mean, it's a whole different thing. I'm a new person because the Spirit of the Lord is living in me now and doing things His way. And so I'm disciplined. I am disciplined by the Holy Spirit every day of my life. I have to bring messages. I have to be on a fast. I can't eat certain foods. And I have to listen to other people's problems and solve them through the Word of God and get the gospel out and make sure that everything is coordinated properly in the church. You have to discipline yourself to do that. You have to discipline yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. So don't wait for God to come and do it for you. You have to make yourself do it because you know what evil reward there is if you don't. And you know the great reward there is if you do. Okay, and then continue.
Good lessons from the Holy Spirit are learned by going through the fire, through the discipline of long time duration.
Yeah, I've been through the fire before I was saved. Amen?
Amen.
And a lot of you people have. You know, a lot of people wondered why was everybody against me before I was saved? Why was I falling into all kinds of trouble and stuff like that? And why were people against me? And I didn't seem to be like other people. But then again, there's people in the churches that were like other people. They did the things that wicked people do, and they still have those things on their mind. These are false brethren that are dining among you, and they're just cursed children. They're around you, but they're not really of you. There's no kindred spirit. Some people that are in the church, you can tell there's just no love there whatsoever. They don't talk to you. They give you snide looks and so on, but you just don't pay any attention to that. You just keep carrying the cross and keep serving the Lord because you see they're not. But you know that you see people being saved throughout the whole world by the things you're doing, so you just ignore them, and sooner or later God will take them out. One way or the other, with one plague or the other, is going to get them. Okay, then what?
Therefore, we should pay attention not only to the temporary discipline of the Holy Spirit, but even more, I know, with my eyes, it's a long time, for the rest of my life. When I saw a vision of myself in heaven, my eyes are absolutely incredibly strong. Somebody's visions, several people in the church, that before Susie comes back to be with me again, that my eyes would be healed. But I don't know on that. It's happened with me since I've been 15 years old.
Yeah, and I don't hope for that, and I don't know about that. And if it happens, well, I'll really be happy. And if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be really happy, okay? So I'm not hoping for anything in this world, because I know that everything will be perfect in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So whatever it takes for me to be able to get in there, let it come, Lord. Okay, then what?
So I just thank and praise the Lord for the discipline of this long duration of time that's been with me all these years.
All right, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. That was 2 Samuel chapter 18, 33 verses, translation and commentary. Also, we have the two letters, and this was part 6 of receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit until chapter 19 tomorrow, and part 7. This is Pastor Tony Alamo, world pastor, that is, and telling you, meditate on these things. Think about them. Meditate about the things of the Lord day and night, and you'll be strong today, and then wake up and prepare to die another day. Like Paul said, I die daily. I die daily so that the Lord can live in me daily, is what he's saying. Amen?
Amen.
So that the Spirit, I mortify myself. I let the Spirit mortify me. I let the Word of God direct me instead of the influences of the world. And so until tomorrow, good night, friends. God bless you and praise the Lord.